It's not long from now, not as long. It's not long from now, not as long as it seems. In a place perhaps you've heard in your dreams. It's the CFRU fundraising drive, the place that keeps local culture alive. It's not ghostly spirits that keep us on air. It's listeners like you and people that care.
The CFRU Fundraising Drive, October 23rd to the 31st. Show your support to local programming. Stay posted for details of the many ghoulish events to come. It is not a trick, it's a treat.
Free admission for the Guelph Fall Home Show this weekend. Colonel McRae Legion, York Road. Fall is a great time for home renovation.
Save thousands in Guelph home improvement specials. Meet Guelph's best for bathrooms, sunrooms, siding, garage doors, water, eco-friendly remodeling products including heating systems, windows, doors, roofing, and more.
Guelph Fall Home Show has Investors Group Theater, energy and home inspection with expert Ron Bollinger seminars. Enjoy cookware demonstrations.
Win Guelph Home Show draws, a scale buster water system from Alchemy, a beautiful garden statue from Garden Gate, or a City of Guelph rain barrel. Prizes from Property Guys, Williams and McDaniels, State Farm, and more.
Guelph Fall Home Show, Friday to Sunday, Colonel John McRae Legion. Home and energy savings, free admission, free parking, Guelph Food Bank donations appreciated.
Free bonus draw coupons at guelphhomeshow.com.
Yeah, well, you don't know this is Tasha T, and you don't know anytime I'm in Guelph, I always tune into Nikki Dread and the Crooked Beat. Oh, you mean, man? On CFRU 93.3 FM every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. You don't know. We're gonna rectify the problem. Let's live and learn to solve them. We're gonna make it work together for the children. Oh, you mean, man? 25 years of Reggae Revolution. Set it!
That is my absolute favorite show promo ever in the history of radio. Tasha T's right. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM on this Thanksgiving Monday. It's Monday the what? What is it? 11th? That's right, because yesterday was the famous 10-10-10. So did you like that Bioneers thing? It was pretty cool, eh? I liked the way that first guy said everything as if it... Well, anyway... Second guy was a bit better, I think. That was just me, so I'm not sure what you think. You're probably thinking, should I eat another drumstick? Should I eat something else? Go ahead. Feel free. I'm not going to stop you. There's no way. And you also heard mentioned in there that our fundraising drive is coming up. We're doing election radio right in the middle of the fundraising drive, so I probably won't be able to shake it loose during... that show, and I believe the working week has been bumped that week. So, yeah, I don't know what my fundraising drive is going to be. Maybe this is it now. Send your dollars to CFRU. Maybe we can get a robot to station the place on holidays. I don't know. Anyway, just riffing. Probably going to get in trouble, but that's, you know what, it's either me or the BBC, so you got me. So if you got a request or anything, because it's like a free half hour, 25 minutes, actually, and then I'm going to do my show. Feel free to call in, 519-837-CFRU, 519-837-2378. We'll talk. But first, I'm going to play a song that the mighty, mighty Peter Bradley played on Thursday, and I was up a ladder, and I thought, that's one of the most beautiful things I've heard all year, so I thought I would play it for you now. It's from a brand new album in the station by Sharon Van Etten. The album is called Epic, and the song is called Save Yourself. And I'm going to send this out to a couple of people, my partner who's studying very hard for a midterm, and I'll send it out to a fellow worker as well who has been busy being a fellow worker all weekend doing renovations as far as I understand it. And if you're on the Facebook and all, you can check them out because they look beautiful. So when I first heard this, I hate to make comparisons, but I actually thought it was Party Time. And I'm fairly sure that these two people don't know each other. But those of you that know Party Time, listen close because I wonder if you're going to hear it too. This is Sharon Van Etten with Save Yourself. Sharon Van Etten from her album Epic, and that was Save Yourself. Wasn't that beautiful? I think so anyway. Just something about, I don't know. I think it's when the steel pedal ends up in there, it just does something to it. You know, add steel and magic happens, I think. Anyway, it's 10 after 5 here on Thanksgiving Monday, a CFRU 93.3 FM in Gulpy. I'm going to Canuck it up a bit because this is Canadian Thanksgiving, and it just so happens in among the pioneers is David Suzuki. Sir David Suzuki. No, we don't have sirs in this country, do we? We have Orders of Canada and Ontario and all that stuff. So yeah, here's David Suzuki talking a bit about restoring a life's fabric, which is, you know, it's Suzuki, man. Like, he's one of the best as far as I'm concerned. So I know this is an odd hodgepodge of a show, but like I said, it's either me or our friends at the British Broadcasting Corporation. So let's get to David Suzuki now. Here he is, Canadian David Suzuki. He's almost 80 years old now. And here he is speaking about the environment and such things.
Welcome to the Bioneers, revolution from the heart of nature.
You can't save the trees and save the earth unless you preserve the human spirit. It's easy to talk about trees and to talk about this toxic waste dump without having to deal with your own personal wounds in your life.
It's all alive. It's all connected. It's all intelligent. It's all relatives.
Scientists tell us that concern with the environment will no longer be just one of many issues in this new century. It will move to center stage. It will become the context of everything, of our lives, our businesses, our politics. We are, in fact, moving from the information age to the age of biology. In this series, The Bioneers: Revolution from the Heart of Nature, we salute the bioneers, the biological pioneers who are working with nature to heal nature, honoring both traditional native wisdom and modern scientific knowledge, restoring the earth by changing the world. In a shift of historic proportions, nearly half the world's population now lives in cities, a whopping 2.8 billion people. Not only are these cities not environmentally sustainable, they could be the make-it-or-break-it factor for the environment and for us. Urban landscapes of poverty, violence, drug abuse, and disease are increasingly divided into zones of haves and have-nots. Low-income urban communities, often populated by people of color, are becoming sinkholes of environmental degradation and social disintegration. If, as the pioneers tell us, all life is interconnected and interdependent, what are the implications of such a sharply polarized urban world? Are our cities, or big chunks of them, condemned to becoming abandoned sacrifice areas? Akila Shareels of Los Angeles has a different vision. His community of Watts, infamous as an urban war zone, was virtually written off as hopeless. Yet he has been instrumental in creating a renewal that has spread across the country and now the world. Join us for the next half hour, for Peace Means Coming Back to the Table, Transforming Urban War Zones, with Akila Shareels. My name is Neil Harvey. I'll be your host. Welcome to The Bioneers, revolution from the heart of nature. Akila Shareel's journey began in the mean streets of Watts. What he learned was that restoring the environment had to start with restoring the people. He spoke at a recent Bioneers conference.
Being the youngest of 10 kids, growing up in extremely humble circumstances, growing up in a very strict religious family, you know, we never celebrated holidays, only birthdays. And, you know, actually, I didn't even know what Christmas was until I was around 10 years old. you know, pretty much all we had was each other and our imagination. Each afternoon, the youngest five of the Shareels clan would secure ourselves in this tiny little room and talk about what we call the story. And the story was our hope for a better world. And the story was best told by my sister Londi, and it would go like, the story... We'd be walking down the street and we'd fall into this hole and we'd meet this ancient Chinese master. The Chinese, because we love karate movies and everything. And we would talk about how this master would endow us with all of these gifts and all of these special powers, kind of like the Power Rangers, and how we utilize these gifts to actually change the world. And in many ways, the story kind of became my mantra throughout my life. And because of that, I always believed that I would actually grow up and do something great. I just didn't know what it was, but I went to college, basically to escape the raging war in the neighborhood. I saw crack cocaine destroy families and erode the little hope that was present in the community. Growing up in the Jordan housing projects gave an individual a few options. You could be a gangster, a hustler, or athlete. The latter two were my foray. I hung out with about 14 cats since elementary school. We did pretty much everything together. By the time we got to high school, only two of us actually graduated. The rest were either killed, got hooked on drugs, and the vast majority went to prison. And none of those guys spent less than 7 years in, this junior prison YA that led to, the big house for the most part. So going to Northridge, Cal State Northridge, was a real blessing. I rarely went home for the holidays because every time I turned around, someone was getting killed in the neighborhood. So I tried to occupy my time, at the school with other things to keep me distracted. I began to, mess around with, different girls on campus. And there was some major things going on in my life. I mean, I had just discovered I had been put on academic probation because I was so busy getting drunk and high every day that I wasn't doing my schoolwork. I was on the verge of getting kicked out of my dorm housing because I hadn't paid my rent in 4 months through mismanaging my finances and my financial aid. And most drastically was I had just discovered that I had my third child on the way, and I was only 18 at the time. And I had no visible way of being able to support any of these children. So I truly felt like I was going off the deep end at that particular time, and I didn't know why all of those things was happening to me. So one night I was laying up in my bed, drunk and everything as usual, and I began to question all the decisions that I had made that led up to me bringing children in the world without no way of being able to support them. And through low sobs, I started, asking God. I was like, I'm supposed to grow up and do something great. I was like, if this is so, now is the time to let me know what I'm supposed to be doing. I was like, because, I'm about to go off the deep end. And, until that particular evening, I mean, I had never questioned much about life because it meant questioning some of my deepest secrets and sensitive wounds. Something was happening in me at that particular moment because I felt like I had come face to face with my greatest fears. In the subsequent months that followed, I began to question everything. First, I began to question the mental and physical and psychological abuse that I experienced in my old household. Then I began to question the violence that spilled from the household into the communities that I was experiencing on a daily basis coming up in the neighborhood. And I was like, why is there so much death in the neighborhood? Why have people accepted this as a way of life? And then why aren't people doing anything about it? I ended up joining several organizations, one being the New African People's Organization, and discovered that, that I had went through this stage. They call it the red, black, and green stage. The red stage was called inspiration by emotion, and it was like when you first learn about all of the lies that you've been told and it compels you to act, so you're extremely angry just out there wanting to do something about the situation. Then the green stage was called enlightenment by reason. And this was a stage that you began to study and understand the whys and wherefores of how something like this could occur and what was sustaining it for the most part. And then the infinite stage was the black stage, which was called sustenance by knowledge. And it was moving away from I hate white folks and I hate the government and I hate the system to having a supreme love for black, to having a supreme love for myself. And in this particular stage, you can go, as far and as wide as you chose.
Akilah Shareels decided to do something about the war raging in the streets of Watts. At the center of the conflict was a relentless battle between the Crips and the Bloods, perhaps the two most deadly and feared gangs in the United States.
Let me just give a few statistics to kind of frame this war. Over the past 20 years alone in L.A. County, there's been over 10,000 gang-related deaths. And that's not even including the amount of folks who have been permanently maimed by the war and those who have been incarcerated for the rest of their lives behind their participation. You know, that's more lives lost than the Northern Ireland conflict as well as the Palestinian-Israeli conflict combined. But because this is taking place with poor black and brown youth, you know, there's really no media attention, there's no humanitarian aid, there's no peace envoys, there's no one coming to help us to deal with the after effects of war. Our children, as well as the adults in this community, suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder and hypervigilance. Well documented in cities like Beirut, children and adults who witness, you know, this brutal death of family members, of friends, neighbors, suffer a myriad of physical and emotional symptoms and are likely to continue the cycle of violence and out of anger and despair. Recovery from PTSD depends first and foremost upon feeling safe. So in Watts, the promotion of peace, you know, meant creating a zone of safety, you know, around an individual's personal life. So in this particular zone of safety was our whole approach in beginning to arrest this whole epidemic of violence in the neighborhood. Watts has the largest concentration of public housing projects in the state of California. These four major housing developments, the Jordan Downs, the Nickerson Gardens, the Imperial Courts, the Hacienda Village, all sit on the perfect 90-degree angle. The hypotenuse runs from the biggest blood neighborhood, the Nickerson Gardens, to the biggest Crip neighborhood, which is the Jordan Downs. Now, I had this vision that if we connected this hypotenuse, we would create a domino effect for peace across the country. So as we began to go out and tell people about our idea and what we wanted to do, folks kind of laughed at us and thought that it was crazy. You know, but this was something that we really believed and I felt like was a God-inspired vision. We first began to march in all of the housing projects, dressed in all black. About 25 of us, dudes that I met in college and some of the guys that I had, you know, recruited basically from the neighborhood because it wasn't a popular concept and idea at that time. And we began to march, you know, down the middle of the street. You know, folks would come outside and, you know, see us, you know, with these chants and everything. And like one of the chants we used to do was, I don't know what I've been told. African people are mighty bold. Done destroyed the old plantation. Now we're going to build a new black nation. Black power. So we'd come down the street chanting. We would go directly to the spots where, you know, the brothers in the neighborhood sold drugs and where they gambled. You know, the guys would form a semicircle around me and I would stand up on a crate and proceed to, you know, as what we call the drop knowledge. This along with, you know, with our stance, you know, against law enforcement in the neighborhood who was just totally tearing up the community for the most part. When they would come, you know, and everybody was scattered, we would stand our grounds and, you know, recite the law to them and tell them you can't violate us and, you know, so folks. Folks got totally into it.
At that time, Akila Shirils had the good fortune to cross paths with the man who would become his mentor and ally, Jim Brown. A legendary football star, Brown had put his passion and resources on the line to work to stop the flood of African Americans going back and forth between prison and the streets.
In the winter of 89, Minister Farrakhan came to town with the Stop the Killing Tour. We took about 25 or 30 guys from my neighborhood to hear the presentation. I mean, it was profound. There was a note that was passed around at the meeting that there would be a meeting at Jim Brown's house to discuss next steps. So there was about six big meetings at Jim's house, each one bigger than the next, you know, 200 to 300 individuals at a time, you know, folks recognizing old enemies across the, you know, across the room. But the beauty of it was that not one incident happened during any of those meetings. And although we didn't lay out any concrete plans, it laid the groundwork for a conversation to be had. Jim came up to me and the guys from my neighborhood and said, man, if y'all ever want to just get out of the neighborhood for a little while and, you know, just get away, he was like, give me a call, man, and come on up. So we took Jim up on that, you know. So one day Jim sat us down and said, look, I have this life skills program that I'm doing inside the prisons called Vital Issues. And he was like, I think that we should marry our work. You know, what you guys are doing in the streets and what I'm doing inside the institutions, he was like, there's a direct correlation between, you know, what's taking place. And he was like, we should marry our work and develop a new organization. So we was like, okay, that sounds good. And, you know, from it, you know, the AmeriCan program was born.
Building on the Life Skills Program, AmeriCAN said its first priority is making a peace treaty between the Crips and the Bloods.
The curriculum created a common communication amongst dudes, you know, who were saying all types of stuff. You know, we began to understand that it was truly our responsibility to change the reality of what we saw in the neighborhood every day, that we were the actual gang psychologists and gang experts because we had lived a life, and that we were the only ones who could stop the war. And this laid the foundation, actually, for the peace treaty in the neighborhood. My brother Daoud, who was inspired by his participation in the curriculum and with Jim, began to convene meetings amongst all of the key brothers in the neighborhood from the various housing developments and Watts. Several meetings were had, and on April the 28th, 1992, the peace treaty was formed, one day before the civil unrest. People came from all across the county to celebrate this peace with us. And this particular incident, I mean, it truly changed the quality of life in the neighborhood. I mean, men became fathers to their children for the first time. You know, grandmothers and mothers felt safe walking down the street again. You know, kids were playing in the parks again. In its first year, gang homicides dropped 44% in the neighborhood. You know, and this in turn ignited and launched AmeriCAN across the country, but it also it ignited a peace movement that pretty much formed in every major city across the country. You know, it was just a blessing to have the opportunity to go to some of these places, Las Vegas, Cleveland, Portland, Chicago, and participate in seeing that forming take place. You would think that with that type of success that law enforcement would join forces with her and rally around us, you know, because of the work that we did. But instead, they came totally up against us. You know, they began to spread rumors around saying that the Crips and Bloods was coming together to attack the police. I mean, like we're stupid or something. You know, the peace treaty also gave birth to what I believe was one of the most significant events of the 20th century, and that was the Million Man March, in which 2 million black men from all across the country came together. To atone for all of the negative things that they have done in their lives and recommit themselves to communities and to make, you know, our community a better place and to raise our children and to be in their lives on a consistent basis. In 1999, myself and my brother Daoud founded the Community Self-Determination Institute, and we consider CSDI to be a vision-based organizing movement for individual, family, and community transformation. And the vision is that Watts is the catalyst for the next major peace movement in this country.
Well, it was probably fairly obvious to you that that was not David Suzuki, which that talk was actually probably a bit more compelling than David's. Not to say, sorry, I got it wrong. It's not that David Suzuki isn't compelling. It's just that he's on all the time. He's probably on today. He's probably on right now. He was on last night. That was actually Peace Means Coming Back to the Table by Akilah Shrills. I think he was announced at the beginning there. And I just let it play because, you know, it was all right. I'm pleasantly surprised at the Bioneers. I haven't heard it. I've seen it sitting around. I've heard the Bioneers, and to me, that's a very wide-ranging thing of topics, and I'm glad they still sent it to us. So Bioneers, two thumbs up. Two thumbs up for the Bioneers. It's just almost 5:30 here on CFRU 93.3 FM, and this is almost time for the working week. I was just doing a little bit of fill before the working week. Speaking of Phil, here's the weather. Let me give it to you again. Tonight, 2 degrees and clearing. Tuesday, high of 14 and sunny. Tuesday night, low of 1. Wednesday, high of 14. Chance of precipitation is 40. Thursday, they're saying high of 12. Friday, also high of 12. So it's probably pretty seasonal stuff. So any special weather statements? There is weather. There you go. There's a special weather statement for you. That's all I got. So it's almost time for the working week, and after our theme music, I'm going to play a little song, and a couple of F-bombs are dropped, so this is just my warning to you that the language in the following song some listeners may find offensive. And if you didn't, I probably haven't done my job.